Happy Friday, everybody. Welcome to the Michael Cutler Hour. I am your host, Michael Cutler. It is Friday, August 22nd, 2014. Goodness, summer is almost over. School is starting for many of our kids around the country. And remarkably, in the Northeast, the weather has been about as mild as any summer I could recall. The dog days of summer did not have much of a bite. Pardon that analogy, or pun, or whatever you want to call it. It's always great, pardon me, it's always great joining you at the end of the week so we can catch up on all the crazy stuff going on. And this week in particular has been disturbing, anything but uneventful. And we've got a lot of territory to cover, and I'm glad you could join me. Joining me at the bottom of the hour, by the way, will be a gentleman who is with a group known as Project 21, and we will have Kevin Martin joining me. His mother was a school teacher. He is an environmental contractor, does a lot of writing for Project 21, which is a conservative group that looks at the issues and how they impact the United States and Americans. I think it's going to be an interesting segment because the focus will be on the fact that, believe it or not, the Border Patrol Union is estimating that by 2015 we will have admitted or will have allowed to have snuck in 142,000. These numbers are unbelievable, 142,000 unaccompanied minors, with that flood continuing on the southwest border. This is an unprecedented situation. You know, I started working for the old INS way back in 1971 as an immigration inspector, became an agent with the INS in 75, and my career spanned roughly 30 years. This is totally unprecedented. It has never happened. I would say it has never happened in the history of our country. Certainly has not happened in all the years that I'm familiar with the immigration system. And again, now we're talking about my experience going back nearly 43 years. This administration has eradicated our borders and is leaving us vulnerable, and we will get into that before we talk about the educational mess. But certainly this is not without an impact on so many issues, including education. And if you look at the situation that so many Americans find themselves in today, and we are told that our educational system is failing our children, what could possibly go wrong by dumping 142,000 illegal aliens into our school system that can't already cope with the massive number of students, can't cope with the challenges that we face? And a number of years ago, the Congressional Budget Office, the CBO, did a study and found that it costs 20% to 40% more to educate a child who is not fluent in the English language than a child who is fluent in the English language. And you know, this dichotomy, by the way, and I digress, but I need to, that we are told on the one hand that we must import foreign workers because our schools are failing our children. What in the world will this do to the ability of our schools and our teachers to really and truly do right by American students? This is an abject disregard for America and Americans and their children. And I am sick of the issue of compassion being raised because 1 in 4 American children today are living below the poverty line, and the statistics are far worse in America's African-American, black communities, if you will, and Latino communities. American minorities are taking it in the neck or some other body part, and this will do nothing, and I mean absolutely nothing, to help. It will do the exact opposite. This is crazy. We are going the wrong way on a one-way street, and this administration is absolutely picking up speed. But what's also so remarkable is the disconnect that few people recognize, because on the one hand, we are told that our schools are not able to educate the engineers and scientists and programmers and technicians we desperately need. Yet on the other hand, we're being told by politicians from both sides of the aisle, a pox on both of these parties, that once foreign students come to these schools that we're told are deficient, then the training that they get makes them so super-duper qualified that we must then staple green cards onto the diplomas issued by what we're constantly told are worthless learning institutions. Notice the Congress and our politicians, you can't get it both ways. You can't, on the one hand, tell us that the schools are incapable of turning out engineers, scientists, technicians, and programmers, and then in the very next breath, if you even take a breath, tell us that those same screwed-up schools are doing a great job of educating foreign students to the point that we need to keep those foreign students here so they could make use of those amazing skills that they magically acquired that somehow Americans are too damn stupid to have acquired in those same schools. The only stupid people I see are the Americans who continue to vote for the same liars and thieves in Washington and in city halls and state capitals from coast to coast and border to border. It is open season on the American middle class, and both parties bear responsibility for the destruction of that middle class. For the first time, and I don't know how long, the average income of the average American family has declined this past year. We're being fed BS statistics that tell us, I mean, it's just remarkable that there's a 6.2% unemployment rate while they ignore 100 million unemployed Americans. We're being told that the solution to our immigration ills and our economic doldrums is to give God knows how many tens of millions of illegal aliens who snuck into our country, in the parlance of the open borders, anarchists. These are undocumented people. Okay, well, consider undocumented. It means they either don't have or don't want anyone to see their official identity documents. The only people who would conceal their true identities are undercover agents, spies, terrorists, and criminals. I don't think we have undercover agents coming across the border unless they're spying on us from by some other country, or in fact they are coming with the intention to carry out crimes or terrorist attacks in the United States. And that brings us to ISIS. But before we go any further, I want to make note of a couple of websites I very much want you to go visit. Obviously, you know my own website. Probably you were able to get the link to my program by going through my website. But if not, please visit my website. It's Michael Cutler, one word, C-U-T-L-E-R, michaelcutler.net. I also write for a terrific organization in California, located in beautiful downtown Santa Barbara, a beautiful place to be, especially in the winter. I have great friends out there. It's always a joy to be there with them. And their website, at capsweb.org, will get you right into Californians for Population Stabilization. And in fact, right now they have an alert out that's worth considering. It just, you know, the hits just keep on coming. With everything going on right now, the administration, incredibly, the administration wants to provide illegal aliens with, and these would be the parents and siblings and so forth, of the dreamers with lawful status as well. I mean, this is stupefying to me. We have a legal system, folks, and the legal system permits the entry of roughly a million lawful immigrants every year. That's more than the rest of the world combined. But for Mr. Obama and his crowd, that's not enough. For the Republicans in Congress who want to give amnesty, of course they will say it's not amnesty because these folks pay a fine. It's a surcharge. The goal for the average illegal alien who runs the border is to get a job, thereby displacing American workers, thereby driving down the wages of Americans who are fortunate enough not to lose their jobs, and thereby sending tens of billions, with a B, tens of billions of dollars of American dollars out of our economy. Last year, a minimum of $125 billion was sent out of our country. And when you look at the multiplier effect, meaning that every dollar that's in the economy generates three more dollars, Well, do the backwards equation, you know, reverse it. Every dollar sucked out of the economy means that those three extra dollars per dollar is gone. So the impact on the economy of losing $125 billion is really the equivalent of increasing America's deficit by $375 billion a year. It's probably a lot more. Some estimates go to $200 billion. Now we're talking about over a half trillion dollars per year. And then you look at the impact on the economy of American workers losing their jobs, going from middle-class tax-paying consumers to Americans living below the poverty line, depending on government programs. So instead of putting money in the pot, they're pulling money out of the pot in those programs. No fault of their own. I get angry when I hear some people say, oh, these are lazy people. These are people that have been working for decades. And they woke up not lazy, they woke up unemployed. And so we get these nonsense statistics about the unemployment rate, and we're told how many thousands of jobs are being created, and everyone's supposed to jump up and down with joy. But what they're not talking about is that most of the jobs are being created are part-time jobs, minimum wage jobs, and the jobs that are being lost are the middle-class, decent-paying jobs. So if anybody out there has a Porsche and it gets stolen, I'm sure you'd be happy if they just gave you a Volkswagen. I mean, after all, both cars are made in Germany, and the parent company is the same. So what the heck? No difference, right? You know, this goes with this narrative about income inequality, and everybody is for reducing income inequality. But don't be so quick, folks. Before we get on elevators, we find out if the elevator is going up or down. This elevator of income equality, as it's called, is going the wrong way. Instead of narrowing the gap between America's middle class and wealthy, it would narrow the gap between America's middle class and poor, and maybe almost completely eradicate the difference, and not by raising the lower, but by raising the by lowering the middle class down into the basement. We are willfully engineering the destruction of the middle class. Alan Greenspan testified for Chuck Schumer about this in 2009 at a hearing that was held before the Immigration Subcommittee by Schumer. And Greenspan talked about the need to eliminate this wage premium, as he described it, that America's privileged elite were earning. To him, the privileged elite weren't Gates and Zuckerberg and Bloomberg and the Rockefellers and so forth. The privileged elite were Americans with skills and education. That is a load of chutzpah, I got to tell you. So understand what is going on. Understand what is going on. So if you go to the CAPS website, you'll find out a whole bunch of stuff that's going on, and you can sign up for their alerts. And in fact, my friend Joe Weidman, executive director of CAPS, just put out an alert. HR 5272 is now being proposed in the Congress. It must be supported. This would be a piece of legislation that would deprive the DACA, the Deferred Action Childhood Alleged Admission. They can be up to age 31, some childhood. Even to me, it might sound young because I'm on the wrong side of 60, but 31 is not young. But it's called the DACA, Deferred Action Childhood Arrival Program. They want to defund it so that it stops. DACA, besides making a mockery of our laws, is leaving us vulnerable to terrorist attacks. We've all seen news reports about the horrific murder of that American journalist at the hands of ISIS. It's believed, by the way, that the slime bucket that did this is traveling on a British passport. You should know that citizens of Great Britain do not need visas to come to the United States. You should know that on 9/11 there were 26 visa waiver countries. The visa requirement, if properly administered, creates an important layer of security for the United States. And if ever there was a time America needed a layer of security, it's today, folks. You know, I provided testimony to the 9/11 Commission, and I did my very first congressional hearing way back on May 20th, 1997, 4.5 years before the attacks of 9/11. The hearing where I testified was called by the House Immigration Subcommittee. The chairman in those days was Henry Hyde, who had passed away. Lamar Smith was the chairman of the Immigration Subcommittee at the time of that hearing. And the hearing looked at visa fraud and immigration benefit fraud. Benefits meaning residency, political asylum, citizenship. Those are immigration benefits. And the reason they convened the hearing was that 4 years earlier, in 1993, we had two terrorist attacks carried out on American soil by aliens in the Middle East who had gamed the visa process and the immigration benefits program. In January 93, a guy by the name of Amil Kansi, Pakistani national, shot up the CIA, killed two CIA officers, wounded three others. 1 month later, we had an attack at the Trade Center. Six people killed, over 1,000 injured, $500 million in damages inflicted. Tower almost came down sideways. I don't even want to imagine what that casualty number would have looked like or how much infrastructure damage would have resulted. And all of these knuckleheads committed visa fraud or immigration benefit fraud. And so they had this hearing because the Democrats wouldn't even hold a hearing. And I'm not being partisan. I'm a registered lifelong Democrat. But as a party, it is despicable. But, you know, the Republicans aren't doing much better in my view. When people can stand in front of the cameras, like Governor Perry, and talk about how, well, we've got to secure the border and then we can deal with the people who are here, Governor Perry needs to go back and understand that the 9/11 Commission made it clear that it was immigration fraud that enabled the terrorists to enter the country and embed themselves, visa fraud, immigration benefit fraud. And yet Perry's out there making these statements. You look at Ted Cruz out there saying he wants a 500% increase in the number of H-1B visas, never mind that Silicon Valley just fired 18,000 high-tech workers. We currently admit 65,000 of those workers a year. Mr. Cruz wants to bring that number up to 325,000. Whose side are they on? They're not on the side of America or Americans. Bill Gates and Zuckerberg and all those knuckleheads are providing hundreds of millions. In fact, it's estimated between $1.5 to $2 billion in funding to push comprehensive reform. It's disastrous. It's absolutely disastrous. And by the way, let me just read this, and this comes from the 9/11 Commission staff report on terrorist travel. And this is an important paragraph, and that report was written by the agents and attorneys who worked for the 9/11 Commission. The 9/11 Commission went into immigration, and their staff said, we didn't hammer it enough. So they wrote their own report. It's my favorite price online. It's free. You can go to michaelcutler.net, capsweb.org. I'm also currently a columnist, proud to tell you, with Front Page Magazine, the David Horowitz Freedom Center publication. I'm going to be speaking at their Restoration Weekend in Florida, in fact, this coming November. And I'm also a columnist with American Currency, C-U-R-R-E-N-T-S-E-E, American Currency Magazine, which is a digital magazine founded by Dr. Benjamin Carson. Yes, that's Dr. Carson, edited by Armstrong Williams. And it's a magazine that is aimed at middle-class, conservative black Americans. But, of course, it's for everyone to read. But that's, the folks that they're aiming their articles and the message at. So if you go to those articles, I frequently include the link to these materials. You can click on the link and see the materials. It's about educating you so that you can fight back with these elected buffoons who claim to be looking out for us, and they're doing anything but. This is the paragraph. It's on page 98 of the 9/11 Commission staff report on terrorist travel. Terrorists in the 1990s, as well as the September 11th hijackers, needed to find a way to stay in or embed themselves in the United States if their operational plans were to come to fruition. As already discussed, this could be accomplished legally by marrying an American citizen, achieving temporary worker status. That's what this DACA program is, folks. The Dreamers, it's a temporary worker status program, or applying for asylum after entering. Kansi, who shot up the CIA, Ramzi Youssef, who was involved with the Trade Center bombing in 93, and the Tsarnaev brothers up in Boston, all applied for political asylum and lied through their teeth, okay? This paragraph goes on and says, in many cases, the act of filing for an immigration benefit sufficed to permit the alien to remain in the country until the petition was adjudicated. Terrorists were free to conduct surveillance, coordinate operations, obtain and receive funding, go to school and learn English, make contacts in the United States, acquire necessary materials, and execute an attack. So now we're being told that ISIS wants to do us in. We are certainly up to the battle if we are smart and if we do what we need to do. CNSNews.com published a report earlier today, 7:42 a.m. this morning, and here is the title, Joint Chiefs Chair, Open Borders and Immigration Status Make ISIL Immediate Threat. And it goes on and says, General Martin Dempsey, the chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, said at a Pentagon press briefing yesterday that because of open borders and immigration issues, the Islamic State of Iraq and Levant, ISIL, is an immediate threat. Now, think about that. He goes on and says, in the context of this ISIL threat, Dempsey said that he had a conversation with his European colleagues about their southern flank. He did not specifically mention the U.S.-Mexican border, which is, of course, the southern flank of the United States. But understand the issue. Understand that if you look at the 9/11 Commission report, the terrorists had to come here. And to simply say we're going to block the terrorists is an absurdity. None of the 9/11 hijackers ran our border, but rather came through ports of entry and embedded themselves in our country. So this is kind of like the terrorist two-step. Step one is gain entry. Step two is embed themselves. That's the jargon of the 9/11 Commission. I call it hiding in plain sight, embedding. So how did they embed themselves? I just read the paragraph. They embed themselves by getting an immigration benefit. And you have the Republicans all lining up like little ducks, quack, quack. Here's the solution. We'll secure the southern border, and then we can give everybody what they want. They'll pay a fine. They'll pay their taxes. Folks, this isn't about taxes. This is about American lives. This is about American lives. I'll say it a third time. This is about American lives. Has anybody forgotten 9/11? Has anybody forgotten the images of those young people jumping to their deaths from the towers because there was no way out? They were put up there by our government. And what I mean by that isn't that our government attacked us. No, I'm not part of the lunatic fringe. But it was the crime of omission. It was dereliction of duty. We knew at that hearing where I testified in 97 that immigration fraud and visa fraud enabled the people who carried out the attacks of 93 to enter the country and hide in plain sight as they prepared to attack us. That was the reason for the damn hearing. And when you talk to these members of Congress, these cement heads, these people who flunked the wiggle test, if you don't know what the wiggle test is, I will tell you, you stick your left finger in your left ear, you stick your right finger in your right ear, and you wiggle your damn fingertips. If they touch, you flunk. Now, when I could have a high-ranking member of Congress say to me, there was a hearing held in December that showed how the Mexican cartels were able to get political asylum. Those cartel members got asylum. So you could see that the system is screwed up and we need to fix it. How do you want to fix it, Congressman? You couldn't create integrity in a system that dealt with thousands of applications. So magically, we're going to create a system that will deal with millions or more likely tens of millions of illegal aliens, and that's going to work out better. The guy that can't run up a flight of stairs without going into vapor lock is going to run the marathon tomorrow and will have to win or people will die. Because remember what we're always told. The terrorists got to get it right only once. We've got to be right 100% of the time. Is anybody kidding me here? Are they really serious here? Does anyone really think that this makes sense to anybody? The problem that we're facing, folks, the problem that we're facing is that you have politicians who don't seem to get it, don't seem to care to get it either. Don't confuse them with the facts, because after all, to them, all that matters is getting campaign contributions and promises of votes. When Rick Perry can stand there and talk about terrorists coming across the border and saying that we got to secure the border before we could deal with the people who are here, I want to know how he wants to deal with them. I just read to you a segment of the 9/11 Commission report. I doubt that Governor Perry is listening, but if you are, Governor, if you are, did you read the 9/11 Commission report? Are you looking for a soundbite? Are you looking for a photo op? What exactly are you looking for? Are you looking to protect America or Americans? I don't even want to imagine what's going on in Obama's head, except maybe how to fix his handicap on the golf course, and his handicap is our handicap. We are handicapped by a president who either doesn't get it or the other possibilities are too horrible to think about. Why in the world would you want to bring in more students and overload a school system that's failing our children, especially American black kids and American Latinos? Why in the world would you want to bring in more foreign workers? And by the way, if we're talking about illegal aliens, generally it's the bottom-rung job. So again, we're talking about America's poor, and disproportionately America's poor are black and Latino. This is a lack of compassion on my part, because I worry that American children are starving, that I worry that American children have no future, that I worry that American kids are getting involved in increasing numbers with gangs and drugs. See, the BS stories about how secure our borders are just that, BS. More arrests, fewer arrests, the Border Patrol arrests 1 in 3, 1 in 5, 1 in 8, 1 in 2.3, 4.7. God only knows, these numbers are laughable. You don't know what you don't know. Trying to figure out who's here by counting the people that you arrest is like taking attendance by asking people who are not present to raise their hand. I made that point on Neil Cavuto's program a while back. He thought it was funny, so did some other people, but there's really nothing funny about it. We have no idea who's here, and that lack of knowledge can get us killed. But the beat goes on. The beat continues to go on, and nobody's paying attention. Absolutely nobody is paying attention. All we're hearing about, and we're hearing about it on all the news programs with a couple of exceptions, the One American News Network and Newsmax TV are giving me ample opportunities to hammer the issue. In fact, I was on earlier today with J.D. Hayworth. He used to be a member of Congress from Arizona. In fact, when I testified just several weeks after the terror attacks of 9/11, without the authority of the Immigration Service, I might add, and there were repercussions, goodness gracious, J.D. was a member of Congress and attended that hearing. I didn't understand why the whole room wasn't filled with every goddamn member of Congress, to put it bluntly. It infuriates me to this day. The magnitude of the attack, comparable to Pearl Harbor in terms of loss of life. Now, while Pearl Harbor cost us our military vessels, the attack of 9/11 was carried out in the heart of the financial district of New York City, on the homeland, the mainland. And we're being told we have homeland security, and we have millions of people here without any way of knowing who they are or why they're here. What could possibly go wrong? But when have you heard any politician who purports to stand with us and by us and look out for us has raised these issues? Oh, there have been a few. My good friend Lou Barletta, the former mayor of Pennsylvania, Hazleton, he certainly stands with us. He's made his concerns abundantly clear. He's the guy who, when I've talked about it, and I consider Lou a personal friend, he's the kind of guy that gives you his private cell phone number that his family uses. You show me how many members of Congress have the integrity to do that. I'm proud to call Lou a friend, but he says to me, Mike, I wasn't elected by the political party. I was elected by the folks from Hazleton, Pennsylvania. I'm here to represent them. I'm here to represent American citizens. And it's not rhetoric for Lou Barletta. Lou Barletta is a hero. Jeff Sessions is another gentleman. He's a senator from Alabama, does not mince words. And it's funny because these guys are all Republicans. I don't care. I don't care if they're with the Hopping Kangaroo Party. What I care about is where they stand on our safety and survival and future. I'd love to see Jeff Sessions be the next president of the United States. I would finally get a night's sleep since 9/11, which I have not had. Chuck Grassley, a man who has the integrity to come forward. And I sat next to Senator Grassley at a field hearing in Iowa about 8 years ago, and he said, you know, I supported the Reagan amnesty of 86. I now realize it was a horrible mistake. I'm here to tell you we must never again repeat that mistake. How many members of Congress, how many people do you know are man or woman enough to stand up and said, I made a mistake, I'm admitting I made a mistake, and I don't want to see that mistake repeated ever again? Think about it. Chuck Grassley. David Vitter from Louisiana, very clear on where he stands on the issue. Congressman Steve King, another guy who makes it abundantly clear that his concerns are the safety of American citizens. I don't agree with these guys on every issue, by the way. I don't. We're Americans. We don't have to agree. But the most important threat we face today is immigration, immigration, immigration. There is no need for a military if you cannot or will not secure your own borders. And when the Republican Party tells you we're going to secure the borders, do you know what their version of border security is? We're going to get 90% of operational control over the high traffic areas, and 5 years from now, we're going to reassess, and we're going to measure, and we're going to... And they talk about a significant decrease in drugs. What is significant? There is so much wiggle room that you could fly a 747 through each of the letters in the sentences that are written on the paper. Worthless. Worthless. Either we understand that we as a country face an existential threat and we're going to address it head on, or American citizens will pay the price. We'll pay the price. The outrage, the utter outrage for me, is that in 93 we were attacked. Everybody that I worked with, because I was up at the Drug Task Force, I was with the Organized Crime Drug Enforcement Task Force, I had a desk at the FBI and DEA and ATF, I worked with the state police. And about 2 weeks after the attacks at the Trade Center, I was walking through Lower Manhattan, literally in the shadows of the towers. And when I went out there to have lunch, I bumped into all these folks from all those other agencies. And what was remarkable to me was that we sat down in the back of one of those wonderful Irish pubs in Lower Manhattan, and there's nothing like it. I can't say that I... When I worked with the Chicago police and we arrested a guy wanted for murder, one in Chicago, we were in town to testify. They took us to some cop bars in Chicago, and I got to tell you, they were as welcoming and the food was as good and the beer was as cold. But basically, New York is a unique place. And we went to one of those wonderful pubs in Lower Manhattan, and we went into a back room so we'd have privacy. And everybody told me, they said, Mike, your agency, the Immigration Service, is finally going to get the resources and the attention that it has desperately needed for ever so long. Guess what? It never happened. The Clinton administration ignored it. So on 9/11, when the ashes from that conflagration at Ground Zero flooded down on my community, I can't forget it. I can't forget standing in front of my house with my wife, and the ashes falling on us, and contained, obviously, in those ashes were human remains, my neighbors' remains, and the remains of other people, people who had been on the airplane, people who were visiting the Trade Center complex from out of town. And my neighbors came out, and they were screaming, and they were crying. They were up all night. We had our neighbors walking through the streets, coming home late that night, making their way on foot in many cases, covered head to foot with all the debris, with the filth, with the ashes, with the stuff that made so many more people sick, so that more people have died and more people are dying. Most of the rescue dogs that went into what was called the pile died young because of all the crap that those poor dogs ingested trying to save humans. And my neighbors were out there, and by midnight, whatever, the horrific, unthinkable realization struck them. They were never again going to see their fathers or their mothers, their sons, their daughters, their brothers, their sisters, their fathers, their mothers, their aunts, uncles, their best friends, their girlfriends, their boyfriends. They were never going to see them again. They were up all night crying and screaming, sitting on the sidewalk, inconsolable. For weeks afterwards, people walking by like zombies, cars driving by with photographs of missing people with a little simple question, have you seen my mother, my father, my sister, whatever? Do you think I can forget that? And what infuriated me beyond anything you could imagine was my knowledge that I had testified at a congressional hearing 4.5 years earlier, and all of those concerns were blithely ignored, period. Inexcusable. You know, when an airplane crashes, when the space shuttles were lost, when the Concorde came apart because they hit debris on the runway, remedial actions were taken. The Concorde lost its, was destroyed because a piece of the debris shot into its fuel tank caused the fire. So after that, they lined the fuel tanks with Kevlar, of course, shortly thereafter. They stopped flying the Concorde because it became too expensive because of the fuel costs, and it wasn't an efficient airplane. But they made it safe. And they immediately said, well, if the fuel tank ruptured because something struck the fuel tank, we're going to coat the fuel tanks with Kevlar, you know, the material that we use for ballistic vests to keep cops and agents from getting killed when they're shot. Actions were taken. When Challenger blew up, they made decisions about how they would do launches from that point forward. They tried to change procedures and materials. When Columbia was lost, they again looked at that situation, and they made changes. When airliners in general crashed, the same thing happened. The purpose for all of this is to figure out what went wrong and make damn sure it doesn't happen again. The 9/11 Commission was crystal clear. Crystal clear. And what did they find? They found that immigration failures enabled the terrorists to enter the United States and embed themselves. What did we do about it? Well, let's see. The 9/11 Commission said we've got to tighten up the process by which we give visas to foreign nationals. On 9/11, there were 26 visa waiver countries. Now we have 38. You know, it took George W. Bush, August of 2002, to suspend, not cancel, but suspend the Transit Without Visa program. Can you imagine that? It's astonishing. It's astonishing. It would appear that Kevin's not going to be calling yet. I'm going to guess we're well into the program. So that's fine. I'll have him back another time. But I want to spend this time conveying to you an important message, and I'm going to be back on Newsmax TV either Monday or Tuesday next week. We're still working out the particulars, folks. But you need to understand. You need to understand that when the chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, the guy that is at the epicenter of our military, makes a very clear and unambiguous statement. There's no wiggle room here. You don't have to get a translator in. You don't need to have, you know, analysts come in and parse the words. It's a very direct sentence. Open borders and immigration issues make ISIL an immediate threat to the United States. What more did the man need to say? And still, Mr. Obama is going full speed ahead with his plans to give millions of people identity documents without even an interview. And to give you an idea about what kind of garbage we have to listen to, Claire McCaskill, a senator, oh my God, hold your breath, jumped up and down and had a hissy fit that Snowden got a security clearance, had a hissy fit that the guy that shot up the Navy shipyard in Washington got a security clearance. And she was all over the newspapers because Claire McCaskill wanted that headline, I guess, that photo op. How dare they? How do they give these people a security clearance? How do they do a background check on them? We need to do better. Even Obama talked about it. Well, they're right. You need to look at the background checks. You need to look at all that stuff. These are the same people that support providing illegal aliens who snuck into the United States with lawful status and official identity documents. Does it get any worse than that? We know damn well that this is a major vulnerability. I read to you what's in the 9/11 Commission staff report on terrorist travel. That was why there was a Real ID Act. And then you have cement heads like the mayor that runs New York who proved my father was right. Nothing is so good it couldn't be bad. It couldn't get better or be so bad it couldn't get worse. Bloomberg gave me fits. So now, of course, the current mayor wants to provide illegal aliens with identity documents. And how will he verify their identities? God only knows. And now Oregon, by the way, you're going to love this, folks. Oregon has legislation that has been approved, but they put it on a back burner because there was such an outcry about it. But Oregon is fixing to provide illegal aliens with motorist privilege cards or whatever it is they want to call these darn things. So I was asked to provide the legislature, or provide the voters, rather, with a pamphlet that would explain exactly how bad an idea this was. But how in the world do we get to that point? So I provided the folks in Oregon with a document to make certain that they understood my concerns. But again, what are these politicians thinking? So for those of you who are in Oregon, there's a website, Protect Oregon Driver's Licenses, Vote No on Ballot Measure 88. I was happy to endorse this measure to make certain that they don't go forward with this fatally flawed, wacky plan. It's not about being anti-immigrant. It's not about being anti-immigrant. This is the big fat lie that's being told, that those of us who want our borders made secure, those of us who want our immigration laws enforced, are lacking compassion and are anti-immigrant. So I want to provide a little clarity, and I want you folks out there to think about this. When you have these discussions with these people that make these statements, you need to confront them with the truth. It needs to be a rational argument, no screaming, no nastiness, but you need to confront them. And the way I look at it, I was just talking to, in fact, I'm going to be on my friend Neil Young tomorrow on his program, and I'm going to be on with Elise on her program in California on Sunday, and I'll be sending out an email with the links later on so you'll be able to listen in. But I'm going to be on Elise Richmond's show on Sunday at 12 noon East Coast time, and tomorrow about 9 o'clock in the morning I'll be on with Neil Young on his radio program. But, you know, the point that I keep raising with everybody, and I was talking to Neil today, he says, boy, he says, Mike, I hate having to have these arguments with people that don't think we need to secure our borders because they're destroying national security. They're making it impossible for Americans. And I said, Neil, and this is a tale out of school. We had this conversation off the air, but we were having a very interesting conversation. He's a fun guy. His program is well worth listening to, and he's a conservative, and I'm not. And that's the beauty of America. We don't all have to march lockstep. Let's remember the First Amendment talks to the issue of the right for peaceable assemblage. Why do you think that's there? So we can have our conversations. And that's what I said to Neil. I said, I don't see opponents out there. I see allies waiting to be won over. And that's what I'm going to tell you. I'm going to tell you what I told Neil this afternoon when we were talking about tomorrow's show that I'm going to be on. Don't look at the people that disagree with you as the enemy or your adversary. They are your allies once you educate them. Let me give you an example. There's a lot of mistaken ideas out there. In fact, I'm in the middle now of doing the final edit on a major paper for an organization known as Progressives for Immigration Reform. Progressives. Remember, Barbara Jordan was a very super liberal member of Congress, and her position on immigration identically matches my own, right down the whole deal. She passed away a number of years ago, but the Jordan Commission talked about actually just going out and rounding up illegal aliens and deporting as many as you could and enforcing the law and safeguarding America and Americans. So it's not about left or right, ladies and gentlemen. It's about right or wrong. So, you know, most people are running around thinking that there's something in the immigration laws that specifically singles out people who are Latino or people from Latin America. It doesn't. If you go to the statute, now I'm going to give you the statute. I don't expect you to write it down, but you can go to my website, michaelkotler.net, go to capsweb.org, pull up my articles, look at the other articles on that website. But you can go and where it says blogs, you can click, you can pull up all my articles. The same thing, by the way, at Front Page Magazine, you can do it there as well. Title 8, United States Code, Section 1182, provides a list of the categories of aliens who are supposed to be excluded from the United States. And, you know, I do a lot of public speaking events, and if any of you out there become aware of such opportunities, let me know, because I'm happy to travel around the country. I was in California just about a month ago, and I'm going to be doing some more traveling in the coming weeks. And I love to get in front of a big audience and say to them, or not so big audience, and say, well, I'm going to read to you the list of categories of aliens who are supposed to be excluded from the United States. Let me know if you would have a problem if any of these category folks moved into that apartment next door to where you and your family live. The first category is aliens with dangerous communicable diseases. You know, we're hearing a lot about Ebola. And by the way, isn't it remarkable? Isn't it remarkable that we've been told we don't have to worry about Ebola because public health is making sure that when people arrive at major airports, they're being properly screened? Well, first of all, major airports, it should be all ports of entry. But what about the people that don't go through ports of entry but run the border? Who's screening them? And the answer is nobody. What could possibly go wrong? See, I keep coming back to that rhetorical question. What could possibly go wrong? So it's aliens with dangerous communicable diseases, so we could be talking Ebola, we could be talking polio, we could be talking resistant tuberculosis, and there's a whole list of other such horrible diseases. Would you be happy if some neighbors moved in next door suffering from those very contagious and very dangerous diseases? You decide. How about aliens who are severely mentally ill and prone to extreme violence or are sex offenders? I'm not talking about the guy that talks to himself. I'm talking about the guy who's many sandwiches short of a picnic and who poses a threat to public safety because he or she is super aggressive and maybe schizophrenic or whatever. Would you be happy if that person lived next door to you? Okay. Next, we get to aliens who've been previously deported, and generally they've been deported because they fall into so many of these other categories. Then we get to aliens who are criminals. Now, what do I mean by criminals? Robbers, murderers, arsonists, gang members, human smugglers, drug smugglers, gun runners, that sort of thing. Would you like them living next door to you? Drug traffickers, you know, perhaps there'll be a shootout, they'll get the wrong door, you get shot. Do you want that? I don't think so. Then we get to human rights violators, war criminals, spies, and terrorists. Would you be happy if they live next door to you? And now finally we get to the issue of aliens who have no means of support, so might commit crime or might take jobs illegally or get benefits they shouldn't be getting by defrauding the system, which means that Americans who are struggling will get that much less. Does that seem fair or reasonable to you? And finally, we come to aliens who would work illegally, thereby either depriving an American worker that job or by joining a labor pool and flooding the labor pool with all these foreign workers, we drive down wages and working conditions for Americans. Those are the categories. That's it. That's it. Who in their right mind could think it's unfair to want the laws enforced and to have these folks prevented from entering the United States? We have to consider Americans first. Americans first. You know, when we see these horrible stories about a boat that capsizes or a building is on fire or there's a terrible car crash and the car is burning. If there's a parent and there's a child, who does the parent save first, their own child or somebody else's child? Yes, if you can run back into that burning building, if you can get back to that capsized boat and you could save a second and a third person, of course you're going to do it. Of course, it's expected. But who's the first person you save? Unless there's something really broken in your head or it's not doable, you save your own child first. Countries are supposed to have the same respect for their own citizens that they save their own citizens first. They protect the jobs and the lives of Americans. The Labor Department used to run the Immigration Service prior to the Second World War. That's how we built the middle class. There was an understanding that if you allowed cheap labor from all over the world to simply descend on the United States, Americans would never get ahead. You know, I was told by a former high-ranking official of Citizenship and Immigration Services, it just blew my mind, because he was telling me that I am old school, that the new philosophy is that Americans do not have to do well for America to do well. One has absolutely nothing to do with the other. How angry does that statement make you? How angry do you think I felt? My dad was a construction worker. He was a tradesman, a plumber. And I don't think tradesmen are less valuable than professions. I'd like to see an accountant do the job that a construction worker can do. I used to visit construction sites with my pop. He died of lung cancer when I was 19. He was 57. He worked in the Navy shipyard during the Second World War because he wanted to contribute to the war effort. The military wouldn't have him because his only brother was already in the Army Air Corps, and after the Sullivan brothers, they wouldn't take the sole surviving male member of a family, and that was my dad. So he worked in the shipyard because he had to contribute to the war effort. Lots of asbestos on the ships, lots of asbestos in the construction sites, and he was smoking Chesterfield blowtorches, which is what I called his cigarettes. But my dad and his buddies would stand at an excavation site, and I'd be there with him as a kid. And he'd say, Mike, we're going to be building an apartment house here, or we're going to be building a beautiful office building here, or we're going to be building a beautiful restaurant here. And it was like magic. I would go back every week, every 2 weeks, and out of this big hole in the ground would emerge a beautiful building. It was magical to me. I'd like to see accountants and lawyers and bankers do something as creative as that. See, I don't think that a tradesman is any less important. I think they're more important than people with a degree in many cases. So think about this. We're being told about the work Americans won't do. We are demeaning our own people. And meanwhile, these tradesmen are having a hell of a time finding work. And I remember my dad coming home back when I was a kid. And if the job was completed, or if the bank wouldn't extend the loan, or whatever, any of a number of things happened, my dad would get laid off. And he'd come through that door with that look, and there was no mistaking it. My mother would take one look at him, he would look at her, and my mother would be sitting there with her eyes welling up with tears. This is happening to American workers by the millions across the United States. And what does Mr. Obama want to do? What does the Democratic Party that used to stand with American workers want to do? They want to put more workers out there so that the Americans who lose their jobs are going to be less likely to find a new job. And if that doesn't get your motor running, check for a flatline EEG. People say to me, why are you a Democrat? And the answer is, I'm a labor guy. I have tremendous respect for hardworking blue-collar Americans. You give me a choice of going out to lunch with a bunch of thieving bankers, forgive the redundancy, or a bunch of hard hats that actually do something important, I know who I'll have lunch or dinner with. Isn't it remarkable, by the way, that bankers will tell you about the products that they offer? Did you ever think three-card Monty was a product? I always thought a product needed an assembly line and wood, plastic, metal, screws, wire, something. To a banker, a piece of paper with a lot of nonsense on it is a product. It's three-card Monty. And we saw it with the subprime mortgages. And what's so amazing was the bankers wrecked the system and they walked away with their own money. They robbed and who got left with the tab? We the people. And who helped them get stuck with the tab? The people we elected to office. And what happened after that? They got reelected to office. Do you ever marvel at the stupidity of our fellow Americans? My dad told me that I would be able to teach people how to treat me by demonstrating what I was willing to accept. Folks, we have to grow a spine. We have to confront these politicians who are taking us to the cleaners and destroying our future and the future of our children and grandchildren. This is a serious situation that we're in. I don't think that America has been in a more precarious position than it finds itself today. In some ways, I think the position is more precarious today than during the Second World War. Back then, it was clear. We had industry in America. Americans were working. They wouldn't lose their job to foreign workers who could underbid them. And then we're told about compassion. Do you think it's compassionate to exploit people? Because what's so exceptional about foreign workers is that they work for exceptionally low wages. That's what's exceptional about foreign workers. American workers are the most productive workers on the planet. But unbelievably, they actually expect a living wage. Unbelievably. What chutzpah they have. I really want to get a decent paycheck if I give you my hard work. What a thought. What a thought. I know it's so much easier to sit home and complain and call up your friends and say, isn't this lousy? And you commiserate with each other, and nothing changes. We're in the home stretch. Election day's coming. I don't want anybody to vote for a party. I want you to vote for candidates. And I want you to engage those candidates in honest-to-God conversations and make them accountable. I want you to make it clear to them, crystal clear to them, that we are not as stupid as they hope we are. When the chairman of the Joint Chiefs can say that immigration is creating opportunities for the terrorists to come here and kill us, and you have politicians willing to provide millions of illegal aliens who are uninspected, undocumented, yes, but they're also uninspected. No sane person would get on board an airplane if they saw somebody sneak past the inspectors, the TSA people at the airport. Nobody wants a seat on a cruise missile. Why are we being forced to live among millions of people who evaded a very similar inspections process? Why? And what is the message that we're sending to the people around the world? Come to America, violate our borders, violate our laws. Don't worry about getting away with it. We'll reward you for it. What does that then say about those people who come here and follow the law and do what they're supposed to do? They've got to be furious, and they've got to feel awfully stupid. And they should feel stupid. And they should feel betrayed, and so should you, and so should everybody else. I mean, imagine being on the Jersey Turnpike, and you know when you get on the Turnpike and other toll roads, you have a cash lane. If you don't have an easy pass, you got to, you know, talk to the person at the toll gate and pay your fee. Or you have easy pass, you go cruising through, and increasingly they have high-tech scanners, so you slow down to 55 miles an hour, and it just, you know, makes note of you going through, and they send you a bill. They deduct the money off your account. Imagine adding a third lane that says free speed limit. Who in their right mind would ever go through either of the two lines? And that's what the Obama administration has created for aliens from around the world, irrespective of what their intentions are in coming here. Whether they're criminals, whether they're terrorists, doesn't matter. Doesn't matter. They are being put on the express lane, no speed limit, no toll. And don't let the Republicans deceive you, because they're not really all that upset as a party. As individuals, yes, Lou Barletta, Jeff Sessions, Chuck Grassley, you know, we can go on. David Vitter, I know they're furious. I know they're furious. I believe Ted Poe is furious as well. But the others who are standing there, and they have the chutzpah to say, well, once we get the administration to secure that border, then what? We're going to put the illegals in that express lane, no speed limit? Really? Are you serious? Why do we bother with a legal system? And if you don't think this is a serious problem, then let's save America billions of dollars. I have a proposition. Let's take it for a spin. How would you feel if the government would get rid of the Border Patrol? How would you feel if the government got rid of all those inspectors at ports of entry? I did that job for 4 years. So how would you feel if the flights coming in from Kingston, Jamaica, Cali, Colombia, Buenos Aires, Argentina, Tokyo, Japan, Karachi, Pakistan, doesn't matter where, Cairo, Egypt, just pull into a gate next to our domestic flights. So the flight coming in from Pakistan, the flight coming in from Saudi Arabia, pull into a gate. Nobody talks to them except the cab driver or perhaps the guy that helps them with their luggage. No one asks them questions. They hop off the airplane, grab their suitcase, go where they're going. Because really, that's pretty much the situation on the southern border. So why bother coming through the airport if you're legitimate, you know, or you're not legitimate? Nobody knows what's going on the Mexican border. Why are we making this big charade about our international airports? It's a charade. It's an expensive charade. Why don't we declare America done with? And how long do you think we will survive after that? How long do you think we will survive after that? And the final bit of news I have to tell you, I don't believe I got to this today. I don't work with a script if you haven't figured it out. I like to just have a conversation with all of you. But I want you to know that the president has proposed training Libyan pilots and nuclear scientists in the United States. We already have over 1 million students studying in the United States. We have about 7,000 immigration agents for the whole country. More than half of them are doing customs work. So if we're lucky, we have 3,000 immigration agents to arrest illegal aliens, to be part of the anti-smuggling program, to send agents to work on the Organized Crime Drug Enforcement Task Force, where I was assigned for 10 years, to be assigned to the Joint Terrorism Task Force, to be assigned to the Violent Gang Task Force, to conduct employer sanctions investigations, and to conduct fraud investigations. So how many agents do we really have to do any of those activities? New York City has more than 35,000 police officers. We used to have over 40,000. We're somewhere between 35,000 and 40,000 cops right now, just for the city of New York. We have fewer than 10% the number of immigration agents as New York City has police officers for the whole country. So we have 1 million students here. We have over 9,000 schools authorized to bring in foreign students. We don't even know if half these schools exist on anything but paper. And among the top 10 countries sending us their students is Saudi Arabia. These statistics, by the way, compliments to the General Accountability Office. I'm not making them up, and I'm not pulling these numbers out of my left ear. So we have all these supposed students floating around the United States. God only knows. We have people getting visas who supposedly have high-tech skills to do high-tech jobs. We have no idea. We had one case several years ago, an attorney by the name of Earl Seth David, I believe was his name, who for 12 years was running an immigration fraud mill where he was claiming that his clients had visas because they had special jobs. He admitted, or helped to get admitted, he didn't admit, but he did the paperwork for, I believe it was over 25,000 aliens from other countries over a 12-year period. And 10 years into the run, he was notified that they were going to suspend his law license for his suspect practices. He ran to Canada and for the next couple of years continued to mail in the applications, and they were adjudicated even though his license had been suspended. You can't make this up. And when they issued the press release about how great are we arrested him and the 20-odd people that worked with him. They were each charged with two counts, one count immigration fraud, one count mail fraud. That was it. Not a word about what happened to those 25,000-plus aliens who are now floating around the United States. The terrorists got to get it right only once. We got to be right 100% of the time, 25,000 aliens who committed visa fraud floating around the United States. Don't ask, don't tell, don't care. To this administration, where immigration's concerned, it's all about mind over matter. Obama doesn't mind, so it doesn't matter. Come on down. If you get one opportunity for a first impression, this is one hell of a first impression. Please, folks, the summer's drawing to a close. Congress is going to be back in session. We need to make it clear to the Congress that we are on to them. We need to make it clear to the Congress that H.R. 5272 must pass. Go to the capsweb.org website. H.R. 5272 must pass. And the reason it must pass is because otherwise they will continue to fund DACA and the president will be able to give millions of illegal aliens lawful status who have no right to it. No right to it. No, they're not entitled to it. It's theft, aided and abetted by an administration that has no use for the legislative process, no use for the laws that get in the way of the agenda. I've never seen this before. I was furious over George W. Bush sending Border Patrol agents to secure the Iraqi border while leaving our border wide open. I was furious about Ronald Reagan tasking immigration with employer sanctions, and we got into the mess because of a lack of resources. We only had about 2,000 immigration agents as compared with 3,000 effectively, which is what we have now, because we know that more than half aren't doing immigration work. So Reagan foisted this disaster on us, and I know that it's claimed that he said, oh, it was a big mistake. He knew he didn't hire any more agents. So what could go wrong if you triple or quadruple someone's workload and don't hire any more people? How's that going to turn out? Well, the way it turned out is we went from theoretically zero illegal aliens to the biggest influx in the history of the country. It's both sides of the aisle. It's both sides of the aisle. They are playing Russian roulette with America's future, with our future, with our children's future, and with the future of freedom around the world. This isn't a game. And it won't end well if we don't wake up and smell the coffee. It's time to take a position. It is time to get your voices heard. It is time to have conversations with your neighbors. I know they always told us as kids, don't talk about religion, don't talk about politics. I agree about religion, whether you have a relationship with God or you don't. And if you do have a relationship with God, I don't care if you're Christian, Jewish, Muslim, Hindu, don't care. I don't care. Keep that private. As long as your beliefs don't cause you to hurt anybody, that becomes another story. Religion should be kept private. But I will tell you, politics better be discussed. We need to wake our neighbors up. Immigration has nothing to do with all the other issues. You've got to separate it from gay rights. You've got to separate it from Obamacare. You've got to separate it from all the other issues. Immigration is a singular issue that impacts every challenge and threat that we're facing. This isn't about creating a rah-rah session because that's counterproductive. This, folks, is about winning over converts and winning them over with the facts. If you like the articles that you see at michaelcutler.net or capsweb.org, forward those websites on to your friends. Let them look at it. Look at what I've written for the David Horowitz Freedom Center's front page magazine. A final thought, going back to this issue about solely looking at the Mexican border. I wrote an article for Front Page Magazine, and I called it Border Security and the Immigration Colander. Not calendar, but colander. You know, the device you use to drain pasta after you've cooked it. We're being told that if we sort of plug once in a while part way a hole in the bottom of that colander with all those other holes, that magically, by halfway plugging one hole, you'll be able to use that colander to carry water like a bucket. Sounds like a funny idea, doesn't it? Yet that's exactly what we're being told by the politicians who are telling us that all we have to do is worry about the Mexican border, and then we can take millions of people who snuck into our country and evaded a very important inspections process, give them official identity documents that they can build brand new identities around, and everything will be fine. Ignoring the fact that the 9/11 terrorists in the aggregate, those 19 terrorists, used more than 300 false IDs. That's why there was a Real ID Act. We need to go after the politicians that continue this insanity of sanctuary cities, which encourage, aid, abet, harbor, and induce more aliens to enter our country in violation of law and block them from discovery by the federal government. If God forbid there are more terrorist attacks, I fear there will be, the blood will be on the hands of these politicians. They will not be able to tell you that no one connected the dots. The dots were connected at that hearing on May 20th, 1997. The dots were connected by the 9/11 Commission. The dots were connected in the 9/11 Commission staff report on terrorist travel. The dots have been connected on the programs where I have spoken and other people have spoken. The dots were connected at the press conference yesterday that was conducted by no less an authority than the chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff. Those dots have not only been connected, but the spaces that those dots form lines around have all been colored in very carefully. The picture is clear. The picture is crystal clear. If we don't gain control over the way we permit people to gain entry into our country, whether legally or illegally, if we don't gain control over the process by which we adjudicate applications for immigration benefits, America's future is bleak. The future of our children is bleak. Responsible parenting doesn't only require that you raise your children well, does not only require that you provide them with a safe, wholesome environment at home, does not only require that you provide them educational opportunities. It requires that you be involved in the political process. Because no matter what efforts you expend, no matter how wonderful they are, no matter how conscientious, educated, or talented your children are, if America fails, I don't want to imagine what the future of our children holds for them. That's why the political situation should be of great concern to all responsible parents. It's very simple. There's no way around it. It's time to wake up and smell the coffee. It's time to wake up and do what's essential. You know, I always like to remind people that democracy is not a spectator sport. Please take to heart what I've said to you. If you find opportunities for speaking events, that sort of thing, let me know. You can reach me through my website, michaelcutler.net. You can reach me through capsweb.org. I hope you all have a wonderful weekend. I look forward to getting together with you again next week, same place, same time, right here on the Michael Cutler Hour. Have a great weekend, everybody. Good night.